This morning when I was printing out my sermon, I went to the printer and my sermon wasn't there. Somebody else had printed something right before me. It was Kathy Polly working in the office this morning. And I thought, well, instead of my sermon, I could read the name of everybody who's already pledged. Here's the actual opening to my sermon. The actual opening to my sermon is, time and tides wait for no one. Time and tides wait for no one. A theology professor once stood in front of a class and said, time and tides wait for no one, so I hope you've picked your title and research articles for the term paper that is due in 3 weeks. It is a truth. We cannot hold back time. The changes of life will come, the earth turns, the seasons change, and we have these things called clocks that help us mark the time, especially if we remember to turn them forward or back. We have this funny thing called daylight savings. The calendar and the clock show a steady tick of the minutes, days, weeks, years. This is unlike spiritual time, which happens in mysterious leaps and bounds, mysterious gaps and rushes. In spiritual time, you may feel endless despair, followed by a rush of joy, neither of which could logically fit into the measure of a clock or calendar. In spiritual time, grief has its ebbs and flows that defy prediction. In spiritual time, a wounded heart heals after years and becomes ready to make repair with another person. We humans live in this paradox of dwelling in both calendar time and spiritual time. It is as if we have one foot on a steadily moving conveyor belt and the other foot in the stirrup of an unpredictable horse. Today, I am inviting us to focus on the clock and calendar time, the steadily moving conveyor belt, the concrete things that our values call us to do. Building relationships and communities of justice requires concrete actions that happen in calendar time. They require many small steps that are part of a long march. They require planting many seeds so there will be a harvest later. Sometimes they require many meetings to build a consensus. Let me paint a picture of a scene for you. I was 22 years old on a Tuesday evening after working at my job in an office north of Seattle, having ridden for 30 minutes on two different buses to get to my neighborhood south of the city and walk to a community center two blocks from my house. The name? El Centro de la Raza, the center for people of all races. They had community nights every Tuesday and Thursday. The community nights were work parties, sometimes doing mailings about events, sometimes helping the kids with homework, sometimes cleaning closets, doing whatever it seemed needed to be done. On this particular Tuesday night, a large room is abuzz with activity, and I am sitting at a table with two other people. I have just now met them about 5 minutes before. One is named Jose, and the other, Guillermo. In front of us on the table are about 500 envelopes. All of them have labels. That was done at the work party last week. Our task now is to put them in order by zip code. Then they have to be bundled by region and put in mailing trays according to post office standards. The mailing instructions are in English. I speak English, but not much Spanish. Jose and Guillermo speak Spanish, but not much English. how can I communicate the instructions to them? I was kind of expecting a lot of laughter at this point, but it may be that, I'm just wondering, how many people in here have ever done bulk mailings? Okay, so you can kind of envision what's going on here. All right. So I'm thinking, how can I communicate to them? Do I mime? Do I point a lot? Do I say, yes, yes, no, no? Now, looking back, I cannot recall exactly how we proceeded, but I recall awkwardness and laughter. This was not a very efficient way to sort and prepare a bulk mailing. At the end of the two-hour work party, I apologized to the coordinator and said that we had only finished half, that we were slowed down because of trying to figure out how to communicate and how to work together. "Wonderful," he said. "That is exactly why we are here, to figure out how to communicate, even across language lines, even across cultural differences." The point was, ultimately, not most importantly to get the mailing done or to get the closet clean. The point was to work together with other people who are our neighbors that we might not actually know. The point, one of the leaders told me, was to practice working together. The point was that when the time came, because such times do come, that our neighbors' very lives were threatened, or our own lives were threatened, that we already had an infrastructure for working together. Then, if we needed to mobilize against unjust policies, we already knew how to quickly come together. Leadership structures were constantly being practiced. There were other benefits. Over the next few weeks, when I saw Jose in the neighborhood grocery store, he said hello and introduced me to his daughter. One night, when I was waiting at the bus stop in the dark, alone, and a man approached, it was Guillermo, and we greeted each other warmly. Let me offer to you a centuries-old poem that is attributed to a Chinese woman, although no name is given. Her poem says, "I take a lump of clay and make a figurine of you. I take another lump of clay and make a figurine of me. I crush them together, and out of that lump of clay, I again make a figurine of you and a figurine of me. Now there is you in me and I in you." Here is the point. We are interconnected, and we need to always keep building relationships for the common good, and this takes concrete actions. There are a lot of situations where we need to be ready to show up and work together. One example is our partnership with the Unitarians in the region of Romania called Transylvania. This month, one of our members will be visiting there. Already, children in our religious education classes have made cards to send them. Now, these are just simple drawings, but they contribute to a sustaining connection over time. A second example of being ready to show up and work together is that I got an email on Friday from the National Professional Association of my colleagues called the Unitarian Universalist Ministers Association. That staff has already assembled examples of how other congregations in areas affected by the coronavirus have been handling it, so that we here in this congregation can learn and benefit from their examples. A third example of being ready to work together is an organization called IMPACT. IMPACT stands for Interfaith Movement Promoting Action by Congregations Together. It encompasses faith groups throughout Charlottesville and Albemarle County. This year, Impact Discussion Groups met, listened, discussed, researched, and picked two problems that they believe can be improved in our community. One problem they identified is affordable housing. There are 6,600 families who are one paycheck away from homelessness in the city and county. Rents have increased by 42% between 2011 and 2018. Impact is asking the city for a new zoning map so that affordable housing can happen in every neighborhood. Impact is asking the county for a trust fund that will prioritize low-income seniors. The second problem Impact has chosen to work on this year is immigrant conditions. Each year, about 50 people who are in the county jail for nonviolent offenses, upon their release, are captured by ICE because of the jail working together with ICE, even though there is no law requiring this. Impact is asking the jail board to stop voluntary notifications to ICE for those convicted of nonviolent crimes. This is very important because community safety is impacted when the immigrant community does not trust the police to help them in times of need. These concrete requests for action are a way of stewarding the good of this local community. It is similar to concrete actions that we take in the stewardship of this congregation. Impact's way of doing things is carefully thought out. They are practicing cultural humility with each other. They approach each other and each situation with curiosity and humility, so they start with listening to each other, to neighbors, to people of other faiths. And from that stance of humility, they build an action plan with clear requests to elected officials and then bring the power of numbers to these elected officials. And I want to thank at this point that these statistics that I've been quoting were given to me by one of our Impact organizers, Greta Dershimer. So thank you for supporting me as I support the congregation. My friends, my message today in this sermon is steadiness. Know your values. Show up. Get accurate information. Proceed with steady energy toward a concrete outcome for a shared good. Time and tides wait for no one. I will close with a verse. I'm not precisely certain of the source, but I was told it was translated from the Sanskrit language from thousands of years ago in the region we now call India. The verse says, "Yesterday is but a dream, tomorrow is but a vision. But today, well lived, makes every yesterday a vision, excuse me, every yesterday a dream of happiness, and every tomorrow a vision of hope. Look well, therefore, to this day." Let us reflect together on what we have heard.